Okay, let's go ahead and get started. First of all, thank you for joining our session and welcome. My name is Eric Hudson, and today I'm co-presenting with David Alexander.
Hello.
I was
just saying hi.
And we're both from the Office product marketing team. Before we get started, I have it on very, very good authority that your business peers look to you guys to tell them about what's new and exciting in Office. And so for the next several minutes, we want to open your eyes to the latest and greatest features and functionality with regards to intelligent, smart tools, collaboration, and mobility that's in the latest Office 2016 apps. But what I'd like to do is, before we get into the how you get there, we'd like to really kind of whet your appetite up front with what some of these features can do for you. I'd like to introduce David to get us started.
Indeed. So you actually are the lucky folks that get rewarded for showing up on time to sessions, because unlike many sessions where we do about 25 minutes of PowerPoint and then get into demos, we're going to go into demos right off the bat to get you guys excited, make sure we're all on the same page about what Office 2016 through Office 365 Pro Plus can allow your employees and your organizations to achieve, as Eric said, across the main pillars of end-user capabilities in Office, which are the collaboration, mobility, and intelligence capabilities. So I'm going to sort of basically go through the sort of latest and greatest capability set across these three pillars and really make sure that you're up to speed on what Pro Plus is up to, because it changes every single month. You know, we keep up with it ourselves at Microsoft, and it's probably a challenge for you guys to sometimes keep up with exactly what's coming out all the time. So some of the latest features in the collaboration set. This is all about your employees being more productive, working together more effectively as teams, and staying connected so that they can focus on what they're doing as teams versus having to switch in and out of different apps, lose focus, lose context. So here I am in the Outlook inbox. And one of the things that we introduced recently, you'll now notice that we have the at symbol showing in the message list there. These are called at mentions. They actually work very similar to how you're used to at mentions working in social media, for example. If I'm at mentioned, it's going to be very easy for me to identify right in my message list which messages I specifically am mentioned in. Because think about all the email that you and your employees are getting on a daily basis. A lot of it might be distribution lists, newsletters, memos, things that they aren't specifically called out for action in. And so if you are trying to triage your inbox, you want to know exactly what things Eric, what things have you sent to me that I specifically need to act on, and those things will be called out. I can even filter my message list just by those mentions to get an even better triage view right when I start my day about what things I might need to act on first. And mentions are very easy to implement. So if I go ahead and respond, you can see I'm Katie. So Katie, will you please send me the latest proposal? I'll say, sure thing. I'm also going to go ahead and mention Garth, because I want him to be aware of what's going on. And you'll see when I type the at sign, I get the people picker dropping right down, prioritized by the people I work with most. And if I don't want to mention the full name, I can just delete Fort at Garth, please check page 2. So that way I can mention him. What you'll also notice is I actually didn't have to add Garth to the to line. As soon as I typed the at sign and picked him, he was automatically added to the to line. So that helps with a few things. First, I don't have to remember. How many times have you sent an email that says, hey, Eric, please do this thing, but you forgot to put Eric on there because you added him to an ongoing thread? I definitely have done that many, many times. This saves me multiple times a day from repeating that same behavior. The other thing is, if they're already on there, maybe on CC, it will bring them up to the to line, because a lot of people set up inbox rules potentially to filter out the things that they aren't specifically on the to line for. So this helps make sure that it's going to break through and so that they'll be able to see it. So that's great. I'm already flagging for Garth what he needs to do. But if I want to go ahead and add the attachment, what you should now be familiar with, hopefully, we've had this for almost a year now, are cloud attachments in Outlook. And this makes it very, very easy for me to add not just a point-in-time attachment, but to add the cloud file that's stored in OneDrive for Business or SharePoint in our Office 365 group. You can see it's nicely prioritized by my most recently used list of documents here. So these are the documents that I'm working with. Makes it very, very easy for me to add it right into that email that I'm working on so that I can go ahead, click, add that. And you'll see it looks and feels very much like a regular attachment. So we're not trying to change user behavior. It makes it very easy for them to adopt this new cloud-oriented collaboration model without having to teach them new habits in terms of the attachment process. But now that it's a cloud attachment, I can go ahead and do the permissioning right here. So if they aren't a part of the SharePoint team site, or they're not already permissioned in my OneDrive for Business file that I'm giving them access to, I can just do so right here, either with edit or view permissions. Everyone on the to line will inherit those permissions, so I don't have to worry about whether I gave it to them in the browser or not. And it's very easy for me to go ahead and send that right off, knowing that we'll be able to collaborate with the full power of the cloud behind us. Now, this is also possible in the calendar as well. So if I go in and I create a new Skype meeting, and I'm going to go ahead and do that. Let me just create this one more time. Do it right now. Okay, new Ignite meeting. So if I go ahead and create a new Skype meeting, I'm going to do a single click to make that a Skype meeting here. And what that will do is it will automatically populate the meeting request with my Skype meeting details. I can go ahead and add, again, my favorite colleague, Sarah, onto this meeting. And you can see she's available and ready to collaborate. But I can also go ahead and insert cloud attachments here, too. So I can go ahead, add that same cloud attachment if I want. Now, the interesting thing when I'm doing a cloud attachment, sometimes it might still make sense to send that traditional formatted attachment. So you can see here, I can actually still attach as a copy if I want. So maybe I want to send something to someone that I actually don't want them to be messing with the cloud version, but I still want them to have visibility into what's going on, maybe a communication that I'm writing. I can still attach it as a copy. It's going to go up to the cloud, pull down a copy of that, and I can send that out. So now that we have this meeting up and running, it's very easy for me to go ahead and join this meeting. I've sent that out to Sarah so she can join as well. Going to one-click join, and I'm Sarah over on this device. This is going to get interesting when I start to have a meeting with myself in a moment. It's going to be great. We'll get my video going. There we go. There's my video. Sarah's in there too. Have a nice meeting. We're connecting you. So now there's Katie, there's Sarah. We can both get this multi-party video conference going. And there's my video coming. So now, with the attachments that I added via the, here we go, Eric can be Katie, hello, or Sarah. So with the attachments that I added, maybe I didn't add them fully, but manage content should actually be showing those attachments right here in the Skype meeting. So by sending those through the Outlook meeting request, I can pre-populate attachments and handouts into the Skype meeting that I'm having with people. If it's a cloud file, we can get right into a co-authoring and collaboration session. If it's a point-in-time copy, then that's available as a download. It's a great tool for people to use, maybe in a training scenario, for example, where you want to populate, you know, training tips and tricks, procedures, and things like that. But speaking of collaboration, I want to make sure that you have seen the latest in our real-time collaboration stack. So here I am. I'm in this Contoso CR227 document. Might look familiar. Contoso does a lot of great work on a lot of different products these days, it seems. But I want to make sure that you've seen the latest things we've brought, especially to make collaboration front and center in the Office apps that you're working on. And so what you'll see is now that when Sarah enters this document, you'll see Sarah Davis is here now. And what I'm going to do is, as Sarah, I'll start typing. And you'll see when I click on Sarah, she's sharing live edits. And I can go directly to her edit location. And as she's typing, fast and fluid, you'll see that with the real-time typing capabilities in Word, we can stay connected on what each other is working on in real time as we're working on that document. Very, very easy and awesome, if I can spell. But one of the things that we know that our customers struggle with when they're collaborating, all this cloud infrastructure is really, really powerful for helping people stay on the same page, stay up to date on the latest and greatest single version of truth for that document. But one of the things that our customers tell us is, well, you know, there's still an aspect of maintaining control. How do I stay on top of those changes? What if somebody messes up that cloud document that I've been working on and I want to revert to a prior version? How do we handle that? We know that we want to avoid version control generally, but what if we do need another version? Well, with the activity feed built right in, we can actually see the full activity list for that document, all the changes that have been happening. Seems like Katie and Sarah have been going back and forth on making changes in this document. But if I want to go back maybe a few days ago when Molly actually made a few changes, I can just click open that point in time version, and it will open that as a new document here, read-only mode. It's giving me some information about when that was from. And I can even compare or restore to that version if I need to. So it still lets me stay in control of my collaboration capabilities, even if it's backended by the cloud and we're prioritizing that real-time co-authoring experience from the ground up. And then the last thing is it's very, very easy to initiate a chat with Sarah, for example. So if I'm saying, you know, hey, please check paragraph 2, it's very easy to start that off. Okay, And if there are multiple people working in the document, then if I click that Skype button, that will actually initiate a group chat with all the people who are collaborating in the document at the same time. Very, very easy to get going and to be working seamlessly in this document. Now, collaboration is all great on the Win32 apps, but what about across devices? Collaboration is just as important in the multi-device ecosystem, not only PC and mobile and tablet, but also cross-platform as well, right? iOS, Android, all the different platforms that we know that your employees and that you guys are using at work. So we want to make sure that our cloud infrastructure can really handle that and power that really, really fully. So I'll come here to an iPad Pro. We've been supporting Office on the iPad Pro since it was introduced last November. And there are some capabilities in the iPad Pro that you'll see that are unique to the iPad Pro set of capabilities. But of course, the Office apps work on the regular iPad, as well as iPhone, all the iOS devices that you might have. Here, if I come into Outlook, you can see here's Sarah's inbox. So Katie and Sarah are collaborating. Sarah might be on the go with her iPad here. I can see there are all those cloud attachments. So if I were to open these files in the native apps, they would open right into the cloud versions. And I could do that from here. But I want to show you another way that we're making collaboration very, very easy on mobile devices. So I'll switch over here into Word. Some of you might be familiar with the recent list. Of course, we've been using the recent list for a couple releases now to make it very, very easy for you to pick up where you last left off. But now you'll see we have shared with me right there when I go to open new documents. So I don't even have to wait for the email to come into my Outlook inbox telling me that Katie has shared the document. I can just go right to shared with me to stay up to date on all the things that have been shared with me. And even if it's something I haven't worked on recently, the shared with me will maintain that full list. And if I really want to go back far and don't want to just keep scrolling, I can say maybe, you know, QT4000, if my keyboard works, QT, okay. Well, I can search. You can see the QT is right there. And but I'm going to go into the CR227 overview, the one that we've been collaborating on. So when that opens it from the cloud, what you'll see are the collaboration capabilities that are enabled here on this mobile device. And so in the top right, you'll see that icon with the number 3 next to it. Two other people are also editing this document. And there it is. There's Katie in the original device, Sarah, who's still on her PC, and now Sarah, who's also on the go with her iPad. Very, very easy to see who's working in the document with me at the same time. I can manage permissions right from here as well. So just because I'm using a mobile device or a tablet doesn't mean I'm limited in any way from being able to collaborate on the cloud files and do all the things that I need to do. But because I'm on a mobile device, we can take advantage of the capabilities that mobile has to offer. So the iPad Pro comes with the Apple Pen. Just like Surface Pro comes with the pen on Surface, iPad Pro also comes with an active stylus. So it's actually very, very easy to just pick up my pen and start inking. Inking works instantly. I can just use it and start saying, hey, you know, this actually is number, you know, 667 that we need to add. You know, I don't really like that diagram. Change that to orange. Really, 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 really easy to do. But if I want to start actually using some shape recognition and do more with ink than just drawing, I can start to use capabilities like draw, like shape recognition, which are actually going to be in the PowerPoint. But instead of using double tap, I'm actually going to use the iPad Pro's multitasking capabilities to just bring that PowerPoint right in. So we also have the instant inking and drawing capabilities here on PowerPoint. So, you know, of course, I can just start drawing. Maybe I'm an architect, I'm trying to do my layout here. But you'll see that we have shape conversion that when I toggle it on, now my drawings will automatically be converted into the real shapes. So this helps me actually draw my intentions right in and have them converted to the shapes that they should be. Maybe I want a nice purple deck right here, so I'll just draw that in. That will become a square, and I can, you know, add some good, you know, wood lines right there. So very, very easy for me to go ahead and use my pen for natural input, provide feedback to my coworkers while I'm on the go. Of course, PowerPoint also has that new shared with me capability, which makes it very, very easy to open documents. So, you know, I can open from my recent list, my shared with me. I can also open directly from OneDrive or SharePoint, but we've also been integrating with third-party storage systems. Of course, we hope you're using Microsoft's cloud, SharePoint, OneDrive for Business to store and collaborate on all your documents, but we do know that you guys also are supporting other storage infrastructures in your organizations, and we want to make sure that people have the best Office experience for collaborating on those documents, no matter what storage they're using. So you can see a number of different examples here. We continue to add to these regularly. Some of the ones we did recently, like Ignite and Learnium, those are particularly geared towards education students. Tencent at the bottom there is particularly big in China. But you can see that what we're really trying to do is just make sure everyone has a great productivity experience there. So I'll cut over to my last device here and start to talk a little bit more about intelligence. And so this is thinking really about how we can leverage especially cloud-enabled intelligence capabilities, machine learning, natural language processing, to have Office assist you in all the things that you're trying to get done in your daily work habits, so you can become more efficient. I believe Yusuf said it on stage, we're not trying to replace the people that are doing the work, we're just trying to make it easier for your employees and for you to do the work so you can stay focused on what matters and avoid things like switching in and out of apps, searching needlessly for content that we can put right in front of you when you need it in a very opportunistic but intelligent way based on what intentions you're actually providing to the system. So here we have Outlook. And what you'll see here is we brought the focused inbox experience that you may have been familiar with from Outlook on iOS and Android. We've now brought that to the desktop. That's something that we announced in July, and that's now been rolling out to customers sequentially. And so what that does is it brings that familiar focused inbox experience right here into the desktop. And for those of you that don't know about focused inbox, what it does is it basically divides my inbox into the most important emails, those appear in the focus tab, and all of the other emails are still readily accessible right here in the other tab, but they're out of the way. So I can triage my email more effectively, knowing that the focused inbox are likely to be the items that are most important to me. And the focused inbox learns from my habits. So as I triage my mail, if I always respond to Eric within 5 minutes of getting an email from him, his emails will always show up in focused. If I always delete Eric's emails because they're never useful to me, then he'll just show up in the other tab automatically. But what you'll see is focused inbox is not changing your inbox, it's not moving anything anywhere. If I turn it off, you see all those emails are still right there in my inbox message list. It's just a view that helps me triage more effectively. Focused inbox has gotten great reception on mobile devices, and now we're helping to extend that across here to the desktop, and it's gonna be consistent too. So the learning that Exchange is doing on the back end about my habits is going to apply across my phone, my PC, my tablet, my Mac, all the different devices in the same consistent fashion. We're also doing a few other things to sort of intelligently help you when you get things like flight bookings or package tracking. And so now, here, if I have this flight reservation here from Lufthansa, you can see that if I go to my calendar over here, this Lufthansa flight was automatically added with all the time zones and information that I needed. Right here on my calendar, right times, I have a check-in online button right there that I can go right to Lufthansa. So it helps me stay more productive because it detects that that's an item that I probably want on my calendar and makes it very, very easy for me to go ahead and do that. Of course, on the desktop, we also have those same inking capabilities that you saw, so where I can, you know, instantly just pick up my stylus, or if I want to turn on shape recognition, I can go ahead and do that as well and convert that. Oops, I didn't actually turn it on. There you go. If I want to convert that into a real shape, I can go ahead and do that here in the desktop apps as well. But we've also extended new interesting and intelligent inking capabilities across Office as well. So one thing that's particularly exciting for the education space is if I come in here and I ink a problem, 3x squared minus 15 equals 0, I can go ahead and select that problem, and now if I type math, tap math, what you'll see is the new OneNote Ink Math Assistant doing a few things. The first thing is it's recognizing that I typed a 5 badly, so I'm going to go ahead and erase that 5 and make a new one. Turn on my pen. Okay, I'll come back and do this. So it's doing handwriting analysis. There we go. Your handwriting just can't be terrible like mine is. Now, Ink to Math will let me convert that into a typed math equation. That's something that we've actually had in the Office apps for a little while. It's a great tool for teachers, particularly math teachers or chemistry teachers, for writing out equations. That sometimes it can be very hard to use formatting tools to get that. But then this is where the intelligence comes into play. OneNote can help teach you to solve for x. And it won't just give you the answer, it will teach you the steps to solve that equation right here. So that then I can practice right next to it, grab my pen again, 3x squared equals 15, x squared equals 15 over 3 equals 5, x equals plus or minus square root of 5. And I can follow along and learn from OneNote. And so what you're seeing is Office is partnering with you to help coach you and train you to help you learn. It's not just about giving you a fish, it's about teaching you to fish so that you can better learn. And if I'm a teacher, another interesting inking capability we've added is called Ink Replay. So say my student is submitting their homework through OneNote, and this is coming to the other Office apps as well, available in PowerPoint, coming soon for Word and Excel. I can just launch Replay and actually replay the order of the inking that happened on the page. So I can actually follow the flow of my student's thoughts as they inked those math equations on the page. This can be great in a business context. Say Eric sends me a Word document marked up like you saw me do before, tons of inking everywhere. I'm overwhelmed. I don't necessarily know kind of what goes with what or what the flow of his thoughts were. I can launch Ink Replay and sort of watch each of his annotations one by one to really understand his mindset as he was going through and providing all that feedback. I want to switch gears to Word and continue talking about how we're assisting people with getting their work done. And this is a feature that was actually introduced and announced today and is available today in first release and will be coming soon for production customers on current channel. And so what it is it's called Tap. So I know at Microsoft, we are gold very heavily, actually, on reusing the content that other people have created. If we can be more efficient by using the same chart that Eric made a week ago, then we should do that. That's actually how our performance model is based, is how much we can leverage the work of others versus recreating the wheel ourselves. And so, based on feedback from customers, we've built that capability right into Word to help you and your employees do the same thing and work more efficiently creating the content that they want to create. So what Tap does is it's using the Microsoft Graph to understand what content you and your coworkers use most frequently, and it prioritizes what you are most likely to want to repurpose based on the frequency of your use. It's not giving me access to anything I don't already have permissions to, but what it's doing is it's putting it right front and center here in the app. I don't have to go elsewhere. I don't have to copy and paste. I can just start digging right into a document right here. So I have Word documents, PowerPoint files, Excel files, et cetera, and I can dig into each file and see all of its different components here based on what I want to reuse. So say I want to insert the project milestone table, I can just click and add the table right in. And it's not a picture of the table, it's the actual table. So if I click in here, you know, maybe I can change the table style and really have it adjust to the feeling of the document that I'm creating. Here I want to go get a slide from a particular PowerPoint. So I'll come down here to the PowerPoint. Note, of course, that I could just type. So if it's something I haven't used in a while, I could still go search on Tray, for example, for my Tray research PowerPoint here. I'll dig in. Now what you'll see for PowerPoint slides is I could add the whole slide just as an image. And that's sometimes useful if I want to maintain the whole sort of layout of all the graphics and everything else. But maybe I just want the actual graphic. I can add that SmartArt graphic right into my document here. And again, it's still just the original Office object. So I can go, you know, continue to modify it for my use depending on how I want my document to be flowing. And then there's this chart down here. Same deal, I could add just the slide. But I can also add the chart. So I'll go ahead and add the chart right in. And what you'll see is it's adopted the color scheme of my document. So it's automatically making it feel right at home based on the content I'm already working on, but similar to everything else, I can go change the formatting if I want. I can even go change the chart type if I want, if maybe a bar chart better suits that data for the particular story I'm telling here in this document. So super quick to leverage that work of others. It's going to continue to update itself based on the signals it's getting from the Microsoft Graph. Similar to Delve, Tap and Delve are both pulling from the Microsoft Graph, but what Delve is doing is it's promoting content for discovery purposes. So you can help discover documents and people that maybe you want to start working on that might be relevant to you that you don't already necessarily know about. Tap is all about repurposing the stuff that you do know about, that you do want to reuse, and that is most relevant for you to be reusing in your material. We've also introduced a similar feature for education and for students, but unlike the enterprise where it's more likely that you're going to want to repurpose content from inside the org, for students, it's more about doing research on particular topics. One of the most common questions and pieces of feedback we got from students is actually to help them do research papers more easily. So we introduced a new feature called Researcher back in July that basically does just that. It becomes a research assistant built right into Word to help them do their research. So I'll type my topic, Amazon rainforest. You'll see that what's coming back are results from the Bing Knowledge Graph, sort of prioritizing structured content, weeding out extraneous content based on the stuff that's likely to be most important for an educational search on this topic. And you'll see it's structuring the information. It's not just blue links and search. So I have the different components of the Amazon rainforest that I might want to consider writing about. And it's very easy for me, maybe I'm just in the outline stage, to just add a few headings like, hey, you know, I should write about etymology, history, biodiversity. Maybe this is what I want to hand to my professor just in that initial stage, make sure I'm on the right track for talking about the right pieces. But if I come back in here, I can actually go deeper and dig into those credible, citable sources themselves. It's not Wikipedia, it's going directly to the source itself for that content. So if I want to maybe find some article on biodiversity in the Amazon, maybe this article about piranhas, I think piranhas are kind of cool. And there's this interesting quote here about grouping behavior. I just thought they were the mean fish that try to eat you if you come into their waters, but it turns out that some of their grouping behavior is actually a defense mechanism. Pretty interesting quote, I might want to add that. You'll see that as soon as I highlight it, I get a button that says add and cite. And in a single click, I can go ahead and add that quote with a citation already added. And if I come down to my bibliography, what you'll see is I can just click, update my bibliography, and that citation is automatically added. I can change the style between MLA, Chicago, et cetera, depending on what my teacher requires. And so what this is doing is it's making it drop-dead easy for me as a student to stay focused in my document without getting distracted by the full internet of things. We all know there's a lot of content out there that might not be relevant for my research topic. And right in the app, my research assistant with Researcher is helping me put my paper together. But we didn't just want to stop there. We really wanted to leverage intelligence with the end-to-end writing process. And this is possible in with a document that I'm working with Tapin just as well as it is with Researcher, or if I'm just making a doc without the assistance of any of these tools. We're really overhauling the proofing, the grammar and proofing capabilities that we have in Office to go beyond just basic spelling and grammar and really make Word your digital writing assistant to help teach you to become a better writer. And so we're leveraging a lot of intelligence, machine learning, and natural language processing to really get at the intent of what you're trying to do and help you understand why certain recommendations or errors are being flagged. So here we have behavior. And the red squiggle will continue to remain, but it will now exclusively refer to spelling mistakes. And so here it's, of course, telling me what the correct spelling is, but it's helping me understand why the correct spelling is what it is by giving me dictionary definitions. And if I'm not familiar with that word, or you know, I have a learning disability that maybe it would help for me to read it out loud, I can go ahead and do that right there. This is one of the many accessibility-related features that we've built into Office to make accessibility a first-class experience for people that have different needs when they're working with Office content. If I go highlight effect, you'll see it has two blue double underlines here. That is now the indicator for grammar errors and grammar recommendations. And so what we're doing here is we're providing synonyms to help you understand why effect is wrong and affect is correct. Same deal, I can read it aloud. But now, this is where the new capabilities, and by the way, this whole set of capabilities is now called Editor. Editor is your digital writing assistant. Now, this gold dotted underline is now where Editor is going to be providing writing style recommendations. This is where it goes beyond the black or white, right or wrong, you did something bad, here's the correction for it. This is where what you did wasn't necessarily wrong, but you could maybe do a little bit better, and here's why. So the majority of is fine, but maybe I could just say, recycle most paper, right? Recycle most of the paper or much of the paper you use. And there are lots of different categories of writing style recommendations that Editor will continue to provide. So a few examples, like Kirk showed, if you went to his session earlier today, Kirk showed some examples of inclusive language. So if you had written, hey, we need to hire more policemen in our city, Editor might help you say, hey, we need to hire more police officers, write more inclusively. Or even for your enterprise, if you have a certain writing style that your company's voice has, you could even deploy certain recommendations and packs into Editor to help Editor train your employees to write better on behalf of your company, in addition to just improving the writing style overall. And so Editor as a cloud service is going to continue to get better and better over time, and so that's one of the things that we think will really be helpful for people to stay productive at work. The last set of capabilities I want to show are here in PowerPoint. How many of you have heard of PowerPoint Designer? Just a couple hands. So last November, we introduced PowerPoint Designer, and it's a cloud-based design assistant built right into PowerPoint to help everyday people create professional-looking designs in minutes for their slides. How many people's slides look like this? My slides tend to look like this a lot, so you don't have to be shy and raise your hand. So what Designer now does is as I add content, I'm going to go ahead and add a picture into here. Designer is going to analyze my presentation and give me some recommendations for how to improve it. So I can just tap this third option there, get a beautiful full bleed image for my presentation. But it's not just one image, we can do that with multiple images as well. So I'll come in here, grab these other two, And so what you'll see is Designer is updating to accommodate multiple images, giving me a few recommendations on the right. I'll select this option here. What you'll see is it's also giving me some accents that are based on colors from my actual images. So PowerPoint Designer is doing image analysis to do color recognition, as well as facial detection. It's cropped the barista to make sure that the face is always in view. It's also doing salient region detection. It knows that the espresso cups are the focal point of that image, so its cropping suggestion accommodates that. And one of the things that we also introduced just today is we've expanded Designer beyond images, and we've brought design recommendations in for text as well. So for process lists that you're writing out, Designer will now make recommendations for how to make those much more visually compelling with just a single click, whether it's a small set of bullets or even a larger set of bullets. Now you can more visually represent that process list with ease. And we're going to continue to improve PowerPoint Designer over time. It's going to learn from your behavior. And so as you tend to prioritize certain types of designs, it will start to prioritize those first and put those at the top. And we'll bring other enhancements too, because just like these other intelligent cloud services you've seen me show, we can just continue to roll updates out to these on a monthly basis, and that's the real power of the cloud there. Two other capabilities, and then I'll give you the mic, Eric. So here in PowerPoint again, something that we introduced last year as well is called Morph. And what Morph does is, just like PowerPoint, which is Designer, which is meant to give you great designs in minutes, Morph is meant to give everybody the ability to add cinematic motion for their slides with ease. So let's take this scenario here. You know, I'm a furniture manufacturer, and I want to show different layouts of what these table and chair configurations could be. You know, two chairs, four chairs, et cetera. If I go present this presentation, what you're going to see is, well, it just goes from one slide to the next. But with Morph, I can actually literally morph these slides into each other, and you'll see I'm just selecting these slides. I'm using the Morph transition, and now, if I go restart the presentation from that slide, each slide morphs into the next very, very seamlessly with fluid motion, and I didn't have to do anything. I didn't have to mess with the animations or timing. I didn't have to select multiple shapes. I didn't have to worry about slides with multiple shapes layered on top of each other. I just get this beautiful motion, and it makes me present like an expert without having to really do much at all other than choosing Morph. And that helps me create much more polished content and stay focused with my time on actually putting my narrative together to really make sure I'm going to land a compelling story. We've brought another feature out just a couple months ago called Zoom that also helps with you staying focused on making your story compelling, and that's called Zoom, which I just said. And what Zoom does is it lets you bring interactive, non-linear storytelling into your presentation, also with ease, with just a click or two. So this presentation already has Zoom implemented, and I'm going to show you what it looks like, and then show you how easy it is to implement. So here I am. Hello, my name is David Alexander. I'm here to present on interior design. Now I have this interactive table of contents that, depending on, you know, my personal preferences, or maybe I'm having an interactive presentation where I'm letting the audience sort of dictate the flow, we can dive into any section. So maybe I want to go into this materials section. We can zoom right in. You can see where we got the naming. And then as soon as I'm done with that section, we'll zoom right out. And this zooming effect is not just to add nice motion, it's also to help the audience stay focused on the complete story arc of my presentation. Because as an audience, you get to stay grounded in what the different sort of signposts of my presentation are, so you know where you are at any given time, how many sections are left. You can apply zoom throughout your presentation, especially if it's a longer presentation, in a few different ways. And it's very, very easy to add. Just in the insert tab here, if I go to zoom, you can see I can add a summary zoom like you just saw. I can add a section zoom, which effectively does the same thing, but if I have a 75-minute presentation, have a bunch of different sections that each want to have their own table of contents, I can go use the section zoom for that. Or I can implement a slide zoom, which is sort of individual kind of pick-your-own-ending style use of zoom where, you know, if I want slide 6 to go to slide 14 and slide 14 to go back to slide 8, you know, I can sort of implement individual slide zooms. But I'll go do a summary zoom, and what you'll see is PowerPoint is automatically picking out the first slide of every section. I could deselect and select other slides if I want. But with just a click, I can go ahead, add that in. It will be added as a PowerPoint object, so I can resize the summary if I want, maybe make it, you know, a column, for example. And then all the transitions and those zooming effects that I showed you are automatically handled on the back end by PowerPoint. And so you can see that it's very, very easy to get right into that. And as a presenter, again, I can stay focused on putting that narrative together and not on the minutia of putting together all those zooming transition effects. So this is sort of a whirlwind, but hopefully you've been able to stay kind of grounded in the fact, actually, I should have used Zoom for this part of the presentation. But hopefully you've been able to stay grounded in the fact that we've been covering collab capabilities, mobility, as well as a lot of the intelligence capabilities that we've been bringing. And again, because we roll these things out monthly, you'll continue to see this level of power and intelligence coming to your organization and your users on a monthly basis to help them stay productive in the enterprise. So with that, I will turn it back to Eric. Thank you very much.
Could we get David a quick hand? All right, so for our remaining minutes, everything you saw there is essentially straight out of Office 365. And what I would like to reiterate to you is the fact that Office 365 is where all of our key investment goes to first. And that's for very good reason. But first, before I tell you what that reason is, how many of you have deployed Office 365 in full or in part within your organizations? Do you have the 2016 apps? 2013? 2010? Anybody want to admit to earlier? You know, I know that what the reality is. You got a ton of things to do. You have a priority list that's 5 miles long and you're putting fires out all day long. But I think it's really more a matter of time because more and more we're finding that technology is reshaping our world. And a key area of investment is Office. Office 365, in fact, from Microsoft, simply because we know our customers are going to need these tools in order to effectively run their businesses, and even more so to empower their employees to do more. And really, that's what this is all about, is empowering employees. There's a number of different facts and figures that are out there, reports that talk about how the workplace is going through a digital transformation. We see that by 2020, nearly half of the workforce is going to be made up of millennials. This is a cohort that grew up just different. You know, they're more mobile, more collaborative, work very differently than what you would find with, say, the boomers or Generation X. Another report shows that employees are working on twice as many teams. But the question is, than they did 5 years ago, the question is, do they have the tools necessary to collaborate effectively and efficiently, especially when we're in a day and age where we are under a deluge of information, getting information from left and right, to the point where employees are spending almost a quarter of their time just trying to make sense of it all. That's almost $1 billion in the US alone of wasted productivity. And some LOB will reach out to and select certain point apps in order to effectively address some of the issues that they're trying to work through. Because at the end of the day, the business doesn't stop. They got to figure out some way to get their job done. The problem is, as you can see here, over 80% of those employees admit that they don't tell you guys about it. And I know you guys are well aware of this, but that still creates a problem for the very reason that it's unsanctioned apps. You don't know what they are, you don't know what they do, you don't know how they integrate, different levels of security, and so on and so forth. Now, mind you, we like point apps. Microsoft has built a nice business on point apps. But for that very reason, we think we're qualified to say that you need something more than that, especially as organizations need to transform themselves into something even bigger. Rather than a patchwork of point app solutions, rather what's necessary is a platform. And we, as David just demonstrated, we've built this platform on four key areas of investment, of collaboration, mobility, intelligence, and ultimately trust. And as you go out into the expo floor, I absolutely invite you to visit our booth, where you're going to see that we've divided our booth up into these very key areas of investment. Now, as an organization is going through this digital transformation, it needs to answer four very critical questions. And I invite you to think about your organizations as well as you're going through this. One is, remember, how can we design a workplace where everybody can thrive? Where we've got Gen X working side by side with boomers, side by side with millennials, and then the generation that's after that. How can we accommodate all of these work styles so everybody can thrive? How can we harness this digital intelligence in order to, you know, better improve the working experience? You saw a lot of that with what David just demonstrated. And that's just the tip of the iceberg with what we've got going on. Finally, how can we empower the mobility of our teams and workforce and do it in a way that is safe and secure and folks stay in compliance going forward? There's one organization that's betting big on Office 365 for the very reason that it's the right technology to empower their employees while at the same time enabling a safe and secure environment within which to operate. So the question is, how do you get this latest set of Office capabilities? Now, I guess we kind of already let the cat out of the bag. It's Office 365. And a lot of the features that you just saw are only available in Office 365. This is our preeminent subscription service that covers all the different productivity categories, ranging from authoring, which is probably what a lot of folks are most familiar with Office, but also moving into mail and social, content management, chat, meetings, voice, and analytics. And of course, because it's enterprise grade, it's safe and secure, manageable, extensible, and of course, always up to date. And the way that you get that, the way that you get all this functionality is through Pro Plus. This is the client portion of Office 365, and you can see the familiar Office apps covering each of these key productivity areas. Now, the reason I had that poll earlier was to kind of show you this. I took a step back and said, you know, if we just go apples to apples with the different releases on the different features and functionality that are available in each release, I thought this was kind of staggering. For folks who are on 2010 compared to what you're currently getting in Pro Plus, there are approximately 5 times the amount of features and functionality being released in Pro Plus with one snapshot in time, and that disparity is increasingly larger. Not to mention you get a very robust mobility feature set as well that comes with Pro Plus. But I thought this was interesting to show that even when you look at Office 2016, which we released in September, of 2015. Some of you may remember that. That was kind of a watershed moment for us with a lot of new collaboration and integration features. But since then, Office 365 kind of picked up the ball and it kept going. And on a regular basis through the subscription, we've been releasing feature after feature across all of these different productivity areas. You can see just some of the features that we've got listed here. So we've been busy. In a very short amount of time. This is not your every 3 year, every 6 year type of release cadence. This is coming kind of fast and furious, but it's important to note that on the back end, also providing with the tools necessary to effectively deploy this and manage it. So we've been busy, and we're gonna stay busy, because this is the new direction that Microsoft is going in and how we're rolling out new products and new investments within Office. So you saw today in the keynotes, and as David demonstrated, we got TAP, we've got Ink Math Assistant and such. We've got Windows Information Protection that recently launched and coming soon, even more. Maps in Excel invite you to swing by our booth, check that out. And all of you should, if you're on Office 365, you can look forward to the next deferred channel build coming up next month. Now we've covered an awful lot of information today in a relatively short amount of time. I'd like to leave you with a quick top 10 things you can do with Office 365 Pro Plus. Ranging top is improving security and compliance with a number of features like multi-factor authentication, data loss prevention, but the list goes on. The whole purpose of this session was really just to kind of skim over the top and to whet your appetite into what Office 365 Pro Plus is all about. We would invite you over the coming few days to check out some of these deeper dive sessions, which will drill into each of these features, each of these productivity areas in a great amount of detail. But I would also invite you to look at some of the breakouts we've got dedicated to deployment. The deployment team's got a lot of great guidance now, a lot of best practices that they would love to tell you about on how to effectively deploy and manage Pro Plus going forward. So with that, we've got very limited time, but we'd be happy to take some Q&A. Otherwise, we'd be more than happy to talk to you over at our booth in a couple minutes.
And actually, why don't we leave that other slide up too, so you can keep taking pictures of that. We can also leave the top 10 up too, if you want to look at that. Yeah. But if you have a question, just please come to the microphone so that the recording can pick up your question so that other people can listen and hear it as well, or we can repeat it. Sure.
Right now, and you see some of the features are limited on the E1 versus
Yep. It's a great question. So the question is about licensing and what of the things that we showed are included in different SKUs. The short answer is just about everything I showed is in any SKU that includes Office 365 Pro Plus, the client bits, the Office apps. The only exception is TAP, which I showed. Because TAP is leveraging the Office Graph, it also requires that you also have a subscription that includes the Microsoft Graph. So TAP is only available for E3 and E5. But Designer, for example, Designer, Morph, Researcher, Zoom, all. Correct. So, I mean, you also need to make sure you have a plan that, that involves Skype for Business and the components that they have there. I know there are a lot of different options they have, whether there's, you know, between conferencing and voice and all those things like that, too. But that's going to dictate, I believe, what the service enables, and then the client that you install, the Skype for Business 2016 client, is then going to connect accordingly. There's a question over here, I think, in this area. If not, okay. So the question is basically for people trying to keep up with the rapid pace of new capabilities, how do they actually learn how to use them and understand how to do that?
So this is end users, correct?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, we've got, so we do indeed have online training that's available across each of the individual apps, so PowerPoint, Word, Excel, and such. We do have some initiatives that are in play because training is becoming near and dear to our heart, because we realize that if we are indeed going to speed up the cadence here, we need to help you guys out and relieve you as much as we can of that training burden. So we have not released it yet, but we are working on training resources so that each time we do make a release, we do have appropriate training materials and kind of a training mechanism in place to support each one of those. So not quite out yet, but it's something that we are working on.
I'll jump onto that and actually show one thing here in the Office apps. We have also been improving the Tell Me capability so that users can actually just search on what they're trying to do. And so, of course, if I'm trying to print, it will give me the print capability, but it will also, we've improved the intelligence and natural language processing to better connect you with then the help topic that you're looking for to provide those help topics and documentation and instructions right within the app as well. So that will pop open the help pane here, connect right out to the same support.office.com material, but do it in the context in which you were looking for it, so that way users can actually search on the topics that they're trying to get help with in a very natural way that they're used to speaking and typing. Right now, Tell Me, the question was, is it verbal? Right now, Tell Me is just based on typing for now.
Yes.
Okay, so first question is about Mac. And do you want to answer first? Okay, so the answer is today's releases are just on PC, but we are working on bringing these capabilities across platforms where it does make sense. A good example is Designer, which was introduced in November. We brought that out to Mac, and then we enhancements that came to the PC in March have also come to the Mac. And so the text capabilities are not available on Mac today, but will be there soon. And so things like PowerPoint, Zoom, Morph is already available on Mac. So yes, we're trying to keep up and bring the capabilities across, definitely across sort of desktop platforms. And then basically the mobility model, we ask ourselves and we try to do research to understand user habits and what things actually make sense on different mobile platforms. Like it might make sense to bring some of these creation capabilities to tablets, but not necessarily phones. So we'll be thoughtful about how we bring them across. But there's no deliberate trying to keep things out of tablet or phone. It's just partly, we also don't want to wait to release a feature until it's available on all three platforms in each of the three form factors. You know, otherwise we would never actually release anything until these major moments, and then that would actually look very much like the old model, where we had one release every 3 years, and it was sort of like a big avalanche of new stuff, and then we would go dark for a while. So generally, the new cloud model lets us do things like introducing Tap today, and then it coming to another app like maybe PowerPoint in the future. And then maybe that will come to Mac, you know, in a couple months as well. So like, this is the type of thing that we can just continue to do on a monthly basis. But yes, we are trying to bring them across. Second question. Got it. So the question is basically about if you're working with the OneDrive sync client and working with the files on your PC, as if they were files on your PC, but they're synced with OneDrive, are there sync issues and trying to work with the cloud attachments in the same way? I'm not 100% sure, actually, on that. I do know that the team has been working on the sync capabilities and sync client a lot. I do believe we have some OneDrive sessions going on this week, too, so they might actually be demoing the latest capabilities and addressing some of the feedback, too. Yeah, thank you. Any other questions? Question in the back, and then I think we're just about over. Yeah, so we'll take one more from the back, and then we're happy to also take questions in the hall too as the other presenters start setting up. Positioning question between researcher and the previous capability called Smart Lookup. Mm-hmm. And I can actually come back into the product to address that maybe most easily. I'll come down here to something like ratings, for example. So some of you who might not be familiar with this capability, we had Smart Lookup as of September of last year. Smart Lookup was great for getting context on something, I haven't done the first run yet, getting context on something that's already in your document. So it's great for referencing material, maybe getting definitions or more context on information that you've received or that's already in that document. But Researcher is a great tool for structuring and then putting the content together that doesn't exist yet, that you're building from scratch. So building an outline, getting good ideas of what different types of structured information might be a great part of your topic to include that you might want to write about, and then helping to fill in that skeleton more fully. So Researcher is really more of a research, like deep dive, putting your paper together type of tool, whereas Smart Lookup is more of a reference tool to get more context. And then sounds like one more question. And then we'll.
Bing.
The question is it using Bing? What's the service powering all this? Yes, it is using Bing. So Smart Lookup, you see here, this is mostly web results, but if I did a topic that was, you know, a proper noun, like a person or a place or something like that, it would return that sort of same smart entity card that you get in Bing if you do a similar type of search. And then Researcher is using the Bing Knowledge Graph, which is doing more than just a Bing search. What it's actually using is an additional service layer on top of that that's doing some structured analysis of the full set of content to try and put together a good subset of material that is what is the relevant content that someone doing a research paper would likely want to include. That research topic I did on the Amazon rainforest, you can imagine there's a lot of stuff about Zika virus and other sort of extraneous things out there on the internet that aren't necessarily part of a structured report about the Amazon rainforest in general. And so those are the types of things that Researcher and the intelligence behind it is doing to sort of structure that and funnel that information down.
Yep.
All right, with that, I think we're gonna get the cane, but we're happy to take a few more questions as we break things down. Thank you very much, everybody.
Yes, thank you.